And welcome to the Ted Brewer Show. This is Ted Brewer, my co-host Austin Brewer, my son in this endeavor, and we try to do our best to give you the top news from around the world every single day, 6 days a week, except for Sunday. I'm sorry, it is Sunday, except for Saturday. and we basically do the best we possibly can, and thank you so much. And obviously, I'm not reading a teleprompter, so if I do make a glitch every once in a while, it's just the way it is, I guess, in live radio and live TV. I want to start off today, Austin. I want to read you something real quick. This is interesting. I want to start with this right now. Callers to KLBJ, which is a huge radio station in Texas, are calling to report ballot irregularities. People preparing voting for Donald Trump in today's Super Tuesday Texas primary are seeing their ballots changed right in front of their eyes to show a vote for Marcus Rubio. Isn't that interesting? And they're calling in four people state voted for Trump and checked the ballot, and it was changed to Rubio on three, and Gray was on the fourth. This is KLGBJ, Austin, Texas. According to KLBJ, computer freeze-ups and other glitches are causing voting snafus. How can a computer freeze up in the middle of an election? Weren't they prepared for this type of turnout? Who knows? What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, that's interesting. Who knows? I mean, it may have been a glitch. It may not be a glitch. We're going to find out probably tonight and tomorrow. When's the voting polls going to be?
Well, they're going to be closing all night. I think Alaska closes at midnight our time here. They're on the last day on Super Tuesday here. But let me read a verse out of Proverbs. This is, we were talking about alcohol the other day, so I want to mention this real quick. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, and beer is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. He's not saying don't have an occasional glass of beer, occasional glass of wine, but don't be going in there and boozing it up on a regular basis. But, you know, Austin, we talked about this already, about the voting, the rival election machines, the irregularities that we had in Iowa and what was going on in Iowa and how some of the votes apparently were changed and how, you know, all this hanky-panky was going on. So, I don't know, buddy. I hope we get a fair election today, because this is going to be the momentum that's going to carry Trump or really put a hamper on his ability to win the White House. What do you think?
It is. We're definitely, this is going to be a big thing for the Republican nominee, so.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. It really is.
Yeah.
I wanted to read you this. There's several things. There's another bombshell. We talked about this the other day. In fact, we talked about this yesterday, about mandatory DUI tests. And right now in the state of Kansas, on Friday, the Kansas Supreme Court ruled the state's DUI testing refusal law is unconstitutional. They're forcing people to be tested, taking blood with court orders. And they said it is unconstitutional, setting a remarkable precedent concerning forced testings of those suspected of drunk driving under the influence. In a 6-1 ruling, the court decided the state's law, which had made it a crime to refuse a breathalyzer or blood alcohol test without a court-ordered warrant, is excessive punishment. Those tests, the court found, amounted to searches, and the Kansas law punishes people for exercising their constitutional right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. So that's a good step for us. That's a major step, actually. And so now they can't put you in jail or charge you with another crime if you refuse to blow on a breathalyzer, and they can't hold you down, apparently, and take your blood. But I think they still would do that if you were knocked out and you had to go to the hospital and they were blood testing and found out you were basically under the influence. What do you think about that, Oz?
Well, yeah, the whole key aspect of that is don't be drinking and driving.
That's right.
That way you can avoid all that stuff. I mean, if you are going to go drink and you want to engage in that type of behavior, get somebody to drive you or hail a taxi or have a designated driver. That's the easiest way to prevent all that. There's too many ways for easy, accessible, convenient, affordable transportation nowadays to be getting caught drinking and driving in a vehicle. We all know it causes way too many fatalities every year, and it's way too risky to your life, everyone else's, and including your career, your longevity, your family. It's not worth the risk, so don't engage in it.
Well, and the other thing to do, and this is something I always do, when I'm on roads that I know there are a lot of accidents on, or in fact, I pretty much do it all the time. You know, you have the running lights that are on the cars all the time now. I turn my headlights on. Just turn my headlights on. I burn them day and night. And, you know, I'm not talking about running on high beams because that's kind of obnoxious, but I run on low beams all the time. And my running lights all the time. The more visibility you get, especially with these people that are driving and texting and on their telephones and spanking kids in the back seat, the more they can see you with headlights or whatever, the more you're going to reduce your risks as far as some type of fatal collision. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this is interesting. A couple years ago, we heard about that one. They did a no-knock search warrant. They threw that flashbang that ended up in that baby's playpen and ended up blowing like half of his face off. It was a really, really horrible story. The parents of the baby that was injured by the flashbang grenade, Now in the state of Georgia, the whole thing has finally been settled, and they were awarded $3.6 million after a federal judge's decision on Friday. And they basically said that, you know, nothing about the entire raid was constitutional at all. It was conducted at 3 a.m., again, like we talked about before, with a no-knock raid for a drug suspect that wasn't even at that residence, and the flashbang landed in the playpen and caused severe damage to the child. He's been in and out of the hospital, you know, ever since the incident. But what's interesting about this, I'm glad the family finally got, you know, some reparations for it, but the problem was, you know, it still doesn't change the fact that the kid is going to be, you know, physically maimed the rest of his life. But the only officer that faced any charges as a result is a 29-year-old Dickie Autry, who was a special agent of the Mountain Judicial Circuit Criminal Investigation and Suppression Team. And she was indicted by a federal grand jury in July last year because she provided false information in the search warrant affidavit and provided the same false information to obtain an arrest warrant that ultimately led to the unconstitutional raid. Prosecutors said that Autry knew the informant she relied on was not a reliable source and did not buy drugs from anyone at that residence, but gave the affidavit to the judge anyway, who issued the no-knock warrant. Autry was charged with four counts of a civil rights violation for willfully depriving the occupants of the residence of their rights to be free from unreasonable search and seizures by an officer, and knowingly depriving the right to be free from arrest without probable cause. So she basically is going to be getting tried now in court for that, which I'm kind of glad that that at least is coming about. But it's sad to me. It just shows you how easy it is for these officers that obviously have no morals just to falsify information to get a search warrant. It's kind of sad.
Just start making stuff up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go to the next story. This is down there in Greece. This is a group of migrants now that are again screaming Allahu Akbar, stormed through the border and fence going into Turkey. Muslim migrants along Macedonia's border and Turkey's border shouted Allah Akbar as they used an improvised battering ram to force their way into the country from Greece. Roughly 7,000 migrants, I guess it wasn't Turkey, it was Macedonia, roughly 7,000 migrants trapped inside the village rioted on Monday. Steel poles turned to the battering rams helped hundreds storm the border. Authorities then used tear gas to push back the rock-throwing men. Macedonia began closing off its border in January in an attempt to gain some semblance of control over Europe's migrant crisis. Many of the migrants are seeking asylum in Germany, which accepted more than 1 million in 2015. And it goes on to say, she goes, German Chancellor Angela Merkel did little to discourage warm migrants from flocking to Greece, saying she rejected a limit on the number of individuals who would be allowed into Germany. I'm going to repeat this. German Chancellor Angela Merkel, I guess you'd call her a Dummkopf in German, did little to discourage more migrants from flocking to Greece, saying that she rejects a limit on the number of individuals who should be allowed into her nation. You know, I don't really know what she means by there's no upper limit. See, when you have 8 million people in transit, if Angela Merkel would have said we're not allowing anybody else to come into Germany, a lot of those people would have turned around and gone home, but with the hope of a future, not living in these hellhole countries that these Muslims have created, they basically will do anything to get to Germany and get through and get the free and get all their free stuff that Angela Merkel's promising. And remember this, guys, Germany produces 10% of the world's GDP with 0.1% of the population of workers. I'm going to repeat that. Germany produces 0.1% of the entire globe's GDP. I think they're the fifth or sixth largest production nation in the world. They're the size of Texas. Okay, this is not a big country. They're the size of Texas. They produce 10% of the total world's products and only 0.1% of the total world's population. So for them to bring in this load of people, I mean, 1 million people to the state of Texas would be obvious. It would be so many people. They're bringing 8 million more. It's going to destroy the entire country, plus what it's doing to the rest of the countries in Europe. What do you think, Oz?
Well, it's interesting. The Los Angeles Times put this piece out today that I just saw. It's titled, Refugees Buying One-Way Tickets Home After Finding Germany Intolerable. And it just goes to show you the absolute propaganda that the West media is trying to portray. if you read the whole article, I'm not even going to go through the whole thing. It's so ridiculous. What it does is it basically tries to paint Germany. It's, here's part of it. It goes, with a one-way ticket home to Iraq in his hands and 7 months' worth of frustration over intransient German bureaucracy in his heart, Ghazwan Abdul Abduba gave up his dreams of a better life in Europe and decided to head back to Iraq on an Airways flight from Berlin's Tegel Airport to Baghdad, along with him 150 other disillusioned former refugees going back home in 5 hours. The reasons include overcrowded refugee centers, exasperated bureaucracy, unfamiliar German food, and a lack of high-paying jobs and a spreading sense of resentment from Germans who fear their country is being overrun by Muslims. That's what says in the article. Sorry, I can't even get through the whole article without laughing. It's not funny, guys. I'm sorry, I'm not laughing as far as what's going on. It's just, it's so crazy to me how they're constantly twisting the media to make people believe that it's Germany's fault now that over a million migrants in there are not happy because of intolerable food and German bureaucracy, and why in the world can't the country handle this many people this quickly at a time? And I don't know, man. This is just crazy.
Oh, by the way, Allahu Akbar is an Islamic phrase, and it means God is greater or God is the greatest. Well, I can't say much about that phrase because what God are they talking to? What's also interesting about this is that I remember years ago when we went to we talked about this before. We have a bunch of hotel points, and we were able to stay at the Westin in Munich, Germany. And do you remember, Austin, when we went up to the they have like a buffet that's free there if you're like a platinum member with Starwood. By the way, if you're not a Starwood member, you need to sign up. And if they've been bought by Marriott, so I don't know what's going to happen to them now. But anyhow, so it was a good program. I don't know what it is now. And what happened, it was kind of interesting. The whole buffet had all the pork removed. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Because about half the hotel were Germans, and we don't eat pork, so that was fine with me. But I asked them. I said, where's the sausage? Where's the ham? Where's all the stuff that we always have to try to avoid? They said, oh, no. We are not allowed to do that here because half the hotel has been rented by the Muslims out of Saudi Arabia, and they refuse to come to this hotel if we serve pork in the lounge. And I thought, wow, that's a lot of political clout to be able to take a hotel like that and tell them what they would and would not be allowed to serve. So, yes, I believe that's probably a lot of it, Austin, because, the Muslims really hate pork, as we should also hate pork, by the way. They got that right. They got that also from the Abrahamic Covenant and what's going on with the Jews. And the Jews and the Muslims, neither one eat pork. So they're absolutely right about that. And as Christians, we shouldn't eat pork either. I could do a whole Bible study with you guys if you'd like. And it's kind of funny because in the Old Testament, God says, I believe it in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, look, to do what I'm telling you to do. You obey these laws. If you do it, you're going to be blessed and be prosperous. If you don't, you're going to die with these horrible diseases and these wasting diseases. So he said, I set before you today life, and I set before you today death. He goes, now, I'm telling you what to do. Choose life. it really says that. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but that's what it says. I mean, he's having to tell them what to choose. And you can choose life, you can choose death, but I kind of want you to choose life because I dragged you out of Egypt, if you don't mind. And so it's kind of interesting because one of the things that the real staunch Jews don't do is they don't eat pork, and neither do the Arabs, and neither do I. And I've taught many times out of the Torah, the Pentateuch, the five first books of Levitical law, talking about the books in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, talking about not eating pork. And also, I'll tell you, we don't have any pork in the house. Period. Done. We don't do that. And I don't. No. We practice what we preach here. All right, Austin. What's your next story?
Well, the aspect of that though is interesting because you think when you're planning to go to another country to basically live off them for free and get government aid and subsidy and have them basically babysit you the rest of your life because you don't want to live in another country, you think you do a little bit of research to realize, hey, we're actually going to the country that probably has the number one pork usage in their food out of any other country in the world. I mean, you're German, I'm German, we've been to Germany numerous times. They love their pork. They love their sausage. It's in everything. They love it. And if that's their choice, that's their choice. But to sit there and go to another country and demand free everything and then say, well, the food has pork in it, this is horrible, you know, now I'm going back to my country. Good riddance, as far as I'm concerned. I'm so tired of hearing about it. I think all the ones that don't want to be there need to leave immediately and be done with it, so nobody will have to deal with them anymore. Because obviously, if they don't want to be there, they don't need to be there. They can go back to their country, because if it's so bad in Germany with free food, free housing, free cell phone, if it's so bad there, it was never that bad to begin with in Iraq or any of these other countries that they're leaving, and they simply just left those countries to try and exploit this free-giving country that Germany turned into with Angela Merkel, the nightmare over there. That's the truth. If it was that bad of a country that they were leaving, Germany would still seem head and shoulders above anything else they've ever experienced.
Well, you know, they're expecting to go over there and get a 40-hour week job, making $50,000 a year, working in a BMW or Mercedes factory, getting a house, getting the car. You know, that is not happening because, number one, they don't speak German. That's a tendency to really cause problems.
Yeah.
Remember, we talked about this yesterday. We talked about in New York City now, they're allowing illegal immigrants to come in and become licensed teachers because they don't have anybody who can talk to these people in the classroom or to teach these children because they don't speak the languages. So, you know, it's just the best. Here's another one. A TV crew for 60 Minutes visits Stockholm ghetto to videotape the Muslims, and they're brutally attacked and they're beaten in Sweden. One guy had his teeth knocked loose. Another guy had his foot run over. They were beaten up pretty good, and they were with 60 Minutes, apparently out of Australia, and they couldn't believe what happened to them when they got there. You know, here's the thing, guys. You know, And I know it seems like we're putting an inordinate amount of time in bashing Muslims. Okay, I got that. Okay, so if you want to think that I'm a Muslim hater, I'm not. I'm not. I'm really not. But these jihadists, these radical Muslims, you know, if they want to come over to our country, learn English, you know, worship their God the way they want to worship their God, not want to start cutting children's heads off and walking around parading them in the street, you know. Oh, that's right, they did that yesterday. But then Russia. But if they don't want to do stuff like that, you know, okay, whatever. They just kind of go through the normal immigration process and come on over. I'm not really a problem with it. I'm not like the racist saying that nobody should come here except for white guys. And I'm not saying that. I don't even believe that. Okay. So the whole point is this: you know, just act like you're a normal human being. You don't have to cut people's heads off. This is just insanity. I mean, it's awful. Now a crew goes in there to film this thing in Sweden, and they get beat up. I'm sure they take off with their tail between their legs. I mean, what are these Muslims who are doing these things in these communities? Do they really think they've taken over the country and now they own Sweden or they own Germany or they own Russia? I mean, do they really think they can do things like this and it's going to be okay? I mean, where's their level of socially acceptable behavior? Is it that bad in these third world countries, these Muslim hellholes they're from, that they don't understand? You just don't walk around cutting people's heads off, running around the block with it? Apparently not. Apparently it's okay, because, I mean, I have literally seen, you know, entire huge places over there in the Middle East where they have all these severed heads piled in piles. I guess that's just their culture. They like to cut heads off, Austin. I don't know, but I mean, but it just seems odd to me that they wanted to come. If they're that ingrained in their culture and whacking people's heads off, why don't they just stay where they are and leave the rest of us out of their little weirdo stuff they do? I mean, just stay where you are and don't be bothering to come to the United States. I mean, what do you think, Oz?
Yeah, that's about as real talk as it gets right there. That's the truth. Like I said, I mean, that article yesterday with that lady in Moscow, you know, I mean, she was a babysitter. She'd been a babysitter for like 2 years for this Russian couple, and apparently she just got mad, wanted to prove a point, whatever it is, decided she was going to decapitate her, you know, her child that she babysat and walk around the metro where the bus station is with it. I don't know, man.
A Catholic newsletter actually had a picture. They posted a picture of her online today. I pulled the story up just a second ago because I was thinking about it again. And she's actually very, very attractive when she had her makeup on. The lady who, the nanny, the hatchet nanny. So, I mean, I don't know what her deal is. Here's another one. Putin wants gold-backed currency, claims Russia will never become a new world order cashless society. I think that's absolutely amazing. This is from Investment Watch. And it goes on to say, Vladimir, now they're calling him the brave Vladimir Putin is pushing for a gold-backed currency, ditching fractional reserve banking, and delivering a defiant rebuke to the Western world's move towards a digital-only cashless society, according to a report circulating in the Kremlin on Friday. President Putin swears he will never stop the circulation of cold, hard cash because he considers digital-only cashless currency to be a new world tactic to gain control over the public. President Putin has stated his desire to destroy the Illuminati in 2016, and according to the Kremlin insiders, he believes disrupting the global banking cartel's plan to ban cash is a key campaign in his war against the New World Order. He goes on to say the Rothschild-controlled banking, global banking lobby, they want a digital cashless system because this will give them more control over us. They want to monitor and control every single transaction while destroying real-world currency so they can issue money that doesn't exist, creating impossible financial burdens for the masses, all the while accumulating extraordinary real wealth and power for themselves. A larger global currency shift is underway. And you know what's interesting about all of this stuff is that, Austin, you know, we've talked about it so much. I mean, we talked about yesterday about how college students now who have these horrible student debts are fleeing the United States of America so they won't be arrested for not paying their student loans because they're so far into a hole they believe they can do better in other countries and basically relinquish their American citizenship and start over somewhere else because of student loans. Son, it shouldn't be that way. There are more. There's more student loan debt than there is credit card debt in the United States, and there's more, and there's more student loan debt than there is car loans in the United States, and there are car loans in the United States. So that's how big this student loan bubble is. I'm going to repeat that. More than all credit card debt and more than all car loans, over $1 trillion now in student loan debt. And this baby, this bubble is going to come home to roost because all, and what is it, 30-40% of these kids are now, and adults now, they're in default. So now they're getting charged these huge interest rates. So they're basically turning into indentured servants, and it's awful. Yesterday I watched the video. I sent it to you, Austin, and it was called the true commencement speech that you should be hearing from the college. And I forgot who did this. It was excellent. He said basically everybody should be apologized to and should be given a refund for their college educations because the vast majority of them have all the student debt that they can never pay back. And the fact that these people have these degrees that are non-marketable and they'll end up right straight going to unemployment line as soon as they get out of college with all this debt. And it was one of the best 6 minutes commencement speeches I've ever heard. And then he said something very funny. He goes, and by the way, you're in your protected safe zones in college where you have your no hate speech where no one can say things bad or they get kicked out. He goes, as soon as you get out into the real world, we're protected by the First Amendment of the United States, and you're going to hear all the hate speech you want to hear. And so your little virgin ears aren't going to be able to tolerate this because that's how unbelievably, you know, non-reality the college system is. And, you know, it's the truth, too, son, because I was a college professor for 2 years, you know that, and it's a whole different mindset. When you're a college professor and you're working, I was working up in Tallahassee, you know, you get all caught up into the college, and you don't even know what's going on outside of the college atmosphere because it doesn't matter to you because the state's paying your money, you're having a great time, you get to hang out with all the college kids all the time, it's like you're still in school. I mean, it's a blast. I was doing it when I was like 25 and 26 years old, and the thing that's crazy about it is that I saw at that point how bad the educational system was getting, and that was back in 1981 and 1982, and how awful the education was as far as the kids coming out of the high school, and it's much, much worse down. You want to add anything to this, son?
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you look at the numbers, it's ballooned so rapidly. In 2004, student loans were about $260 billion. I'll repeat that. Just 12 years ago in 2004, student loans were at $260 billion. Now, as of 2015, they are over $1.2 trillion. They've multiplied by five times in just 12 years. That was not by accident, guys. They made these student loans so easy to get, so affordable to get, so to the point where you felt you needed to get a student loan. There was no reason not to get a student loan. And what happens is it starts you out hopelessly in debt, because you get these loans, you start getting them when you're 18, 19 years old, you run them all the way till you're 21, 22, 23 through, you know, bachelor's or graduate school, you come out with $100, $150,000 in student loans because you took loans out on your housing, your food, your school, your books, other expenditures. You get out, so you get married, then you buy a car, now you're $30,000 in debt, now you buy a house, you're another $150,000 in debt. You're 25 years old, and you're close to $500,000 in debt, depending on what you've bought in the last couple of years. And so it automatically puts you in that mindset of, well, it doesn't really matter. I'm hopelessly in debt, so I'm just going to live as an indebted, indentured servitude the rest of my life. That's what this was all about from the start. That's why they made the student loans so easy. I told you guys about it over and over again. I had so many friends when I was in college over at Southeastern University in Lakeland that would just apply for student loans like they were going out of style, like they were going to buy a loaf of bread. Oh, yeah, I got another $10,000 student loan for this, got a $10,000, $20,000 student loan for this, paying some classes, had another $3,000 or $4,000. I knew people that were getting student loans after they got done paying for their classes, they put the rest of the money in their car. They put like a new engine in it or put different wheels on it. And that's what they did. They burned through this cash, and then they graduated, they got a job, and all of a sudden it was like, whoa, now I got to pay $300-$400 a month for the next 40 years. Whoa, this wasn't what I signed up for. And that's exactly what happens. And it's sad. It really is sad. And that it is getting worse and worse and worse. Now I think, though, enough people are bringing it to light. Enough people are talking about it, like us and other people, you know, on the alternative media, that, hey, you don't have to have student loans. There's so many other options with grants. You know, and if you have to get student loans, get the very, very bare minimum that you need to cover your classes for that semester and try and pay it off that summer or try and work it back over the summer. And that way, even if you do graduate with student loans, you're not more than $5,000, $10,000, $12,000 in debt, which is actually something that's manageable once you get out, even with a low-paying job, instead of these $35,000 a year jobs when you get out and you're $100,000 in debt. It's really sad.
It is. I see it all the time with kids, and it's just sad. We can tell them as much as we can, but we can't make them do it. But it's because once they start signing those bills, they don't understand. The media is slamming Trump over David Duke. However, it's ignoring Hillary Clinton, praising former KKK member Robert Byrd. What happened with Clinton or Trump yesterday, he was actually being interviewed, and his microphone wasn't working, and they said something about Duke endorsing him, and he didn't immediately say, I'm not interested in that, because he couldn't hear because the microphone had a bad connection, which is probably intentional. I'm going to say that again. It was probably intentional, because I've been on many, many TV. I remember one time I was over on the Fox show. They had a station out of Ohio wanted me to do a satellite uplink on a talk show back in the 90s, and when they wanted me to go to the Channel 13, I think it was CBS then, but it hadn't changed to Fox yet, the affiliate over in Tampa. And I remember I drove over there to do the uplink because it was going to be a live feed, actually be a live to tape feed, and I ended up sitting there for like 2 hours. They couldn't get the audio to work, and finally I said, well, guys, I don't have all day for this. It was only like a 10-minute segment. It was an hour drive over, hour drive back. I was there for 2 hours. It was like ate up half the day. So I left. Because, you know, when you're a guest on a show, in many cases, you know, well, I've never been paid to be a guest on a show. And I've been on thousands and thousands of shows. You do it at your own expense because they give you the airtime. And hopefully they'll give you the commercial break and let you say something about your CDs or your books so you can cover the cost of traveling to them. And I'll never forget this, Austin. So I came home. Then they called me back a day later. They sent an entire camera crew to my house when we were living in Auburndale. And I couldn't believe it. They sent an entire camera crew over, and they set up all these cameras. They had a multiple camera shoot in the house, and they interviewed me for like an hour and a half. I couldn't believe it. Well, and they gave me their word they're going to put the website up. It wasn't even a website. It was an 800 number. And, of course, they lied about everything. They lied about everything. They didn't put up the 800 number. They gave no contact information. They gave nothing. And so finally, they aired the show. I got zero response out of after all that effort. And I called them up, and I talked to the producer. I said, dude, you know, I've got a friend who lives in your town. They saw the show. They said, you never put up the 800 number. You gave me your word you were going to do this. You know what the response was, Austin? Sue us.
Sue us.
That's what they said. Sue us. And I said, what do you mean, sue us? And I said, did you really believe we're going to promote anything? Yeah, we're not going to do that. We don't care. Sue us. We don't care. You had nothing in writing. Sue us. My word against yours. Click. I thought, wow, these media people are really interesting folks. And you were a little bitty kid back then. You wouldn't remember all that, but that was interesting. That's back in the early 90s. So don't believe what these guys do. And, you know, they twist things so much. It's absolutely ridiculous. All right, what's your next story, Oz?
Well, the political correctness also has completely gotten out of control. This is interesting. I read it earlier today. Mark Zuckerberg, who's the CEO of Facebook, you know, Mr. Globalist CIA boy Mark Zuckerberg, who was paid to start Facebook, he's responding forcefully after incidences in which employees crossed out Black Lives Matter and wrote All Lives Matter on the walls of the company's Menlo, California campus. Now, let me explain something to you guys. If you guys know anything about this place in California, there's a giant thing that says the Facebook wall writes something. It's just a giant wall. You got a marker you write on it. And an individual went in there and basically was offended by the Black Lives Matter slogan, which he probably should have been, and crossed it out and wrote All Lives Matter underneath it. And they've started this giant brouhaha now over at the Facebook campus. They said they're investigating the racially charged incidences in which the movement's slogan was defaced, And Zuckerberg came out and said it's deeply hurtful and tiresome experience for the black community. First off, guys, there's nothing racially motivated about stating all lives matter and crossing out black lives matter. All lives matter. This whole BLM movement is an absolute disgrace to anybody in this country that has a brain. It is not about one race or another. It's about all of us working together as a community to bring America closer together and bring it closer to greatness how we used to be. It is not about diversifying ourselves and trying to make one group better than the next. The BLM is no different than the neo-Nazi skinheads or the M13 Mexican gangs that state that the Mexicans are superior. That's all this is. So this whole political correctness thing is completely gotten out of control. All lives matter. We need to stop the race baiting, the racial motivated nonsense, and realize that we have to work together now, and it's not about fighting each other. It's about basically going against the globalists and the New World Order and waking everybody up to really what's going on. Monsanto, the chemtrails, everything. Not trying to fight each other over race. That's complete and total nonsense. So if you are involved in anything, stop this stuff. Stop it. Support everybody. All lives matter. That's all it comes down to, is they all matter. We're all one together in the United States, and we need to work together and support each other.
Wow, Austin, that was very, very articulate, very well said. I mean, wow.
Thank you.
I'm really proud of you that you're my son saying something like that. I like that. And you guys,
it's frustrating, man.
Well, no, I'm kind of walking around like a strutting peacock here in the office that my son would actually say something like that. And I mean, I'm being very serious when I say that. What you just said was more than you're going to hear on any mainstream nonsense news show anytime ever. It's all this president, Barack Obama, Barry Sorto, whatever you want to call the guy, okay? I mean, just whatever, okay? He has done more to damage race relations in the United States than any president in my lifetime. I mean, he's put the race relations back into the 50s and the 60s quadrant with us. It's ridiculous what he's done. And Trump's trying to bring it all back together again. But let's go away. We've got so much news to cover. New York Times insists the Libyan weapons were looted and sent to Syria in Africa. This is from Kurt Nimmo. The Times would have us to believe the weapons in Libya were looted and sold to the Islamists in Syria and Mali. First, many of these weapons were given to the rebels in Libya by NATO and the United States in an effort by then the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, to overthrow Gaddafi.
Yep.
Which they turned it into a hellhole by doing that. This was confirmed by U.S. intelligence in 2015. Other weapons reportedly came from Gaddafi's arsenals. NATO has given permission to a number of weapons-loaded aircraft to land in Benghazi airport and some Tunisian airports, and intelligence report states, according to a report published by the Washington Times, the weapons cache included tanks and surface-to-air missiles. This is why Ambassador Stevens was killed.
Yep.
This is why they killed him. That and the fact that he was running boys, he was a pedophile, all of this stuff came out about him, okay? The guy was bad news, but he was involved with all of this, and then he was going to go state's evidence. He was going to testify about all this stuff. This is exactly what Dave Hodges told us the other day on the show, and what happens because he was going to do that, they had to get rid of him. That's why they were issued a stand-down order. I went to that 13 hours. I went to it just a few weeks ago when it was still on at the movie theaters, and the movie theaters were packed. There was absolutely no reason for that movie to be taken out of the theaters. That was political pressure. There wasn't even a seat available in there. That was
coming. Oh yeah, it was still packed when I went.
Yeah, so people were a little bit. See, it was too much anti-Hillary Clinton stuff. Hillary Clinton was neck deep in all of this globalist nonsense with Libya, Gaddafi, Ambassador Stevens. It's all about the drugs. It's all about the running the stuff. And Gaddafi, he lived in a small little house with a little wall around it. It was nothing big, nothing fancy. It was no. It wasn't some huge palace. He poured almost all the oil revenue he was getting in Libya back to the people. They had one of the highest standards of living, one of the highest educational systems in the world. They led Africa. They had all kinds of humanitarian missions all over Africa, trying to help the other countries in Africa, trying to help them to build themselves up. He was actually 1,000 times better than this hellhole they've turned it into now under Hillary Clinton. And now she's using the fact that she was Secretary of State as something that's going to make her a good president. Are you kidding us? Are you kidding us? Really? Unbelievable. Let me go to my story. This is nuts. China is set to lay off millions of workers in the coal and steel industry. This is out of CBS News. Premier Li Keqiang told U.S. Treasury Secretary Liu that as China moves forward in reducing overcapacity, which is what they've done, we will focus on two areas, the steel and coal sectors. So they're going to be shutting down they're laying off millions of workers. 1.8 million jobs are going the way of bye-bye over there. And it's unbelievable how China is just collapsing because they basically hyperinflated their own country while they were printing all that money over there with the Federal Reserve pushing them to get them deeper and deeper into debt. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this is pretty funny because I brought it up numerous times and it keeps happening repeatedly. Another self-driving car, a Google car, over in Silicon Valley struck a public bus last week in a fender bender that appears to be the first time now that the Google car has actually caused an accident during testing. No one was injured by the accident. Apparently, he was supposed to be turning right, or the car was supposed to be turning right, and it ended up merging over to avoid sandbags or something, and ended up hitting the bus that was coming up beside him. Like I said, nothing's happened, but this is nearly over a dozen collisions now since 2014 with these cars on the road and then testing them, you know, driverless cars. And the thing everybody has to understand is this is not something we really need to support. I know it sounds like a cool idea, you know, like on iRobot, have these cars driving us around and doing all this stuff. But the truth is, this is all leading further and further down that complete, you know, totalitarian police state where you'll have no rights, no control over anything. The cars will have complete control over what you do. So that's where this is going. That's why I don't support them a lot. That's why I laugh at these Google cars all the time. And then again, I laugh at all the time because they're constantly in accidents. And one of the guys came out last year and he said, the reason why these Google cars are having accidents is because when we download the driving laws, you know, the complete driving laws into the basically the brain of the car, it can't differentiate. It's supposed to follow all laws. There is no gray area. And it said most of the time when it's in an accident is because it doesn't break a law. That's what causes the accident. You know, it ends up pulling out and in doing this mile per hour, but there's a vehicle coming up behind it, so it ends up rear-ending the Google car, and nobody can figure it out. It's because it will not break any laws, and actually a lot of the laws need to be bended or broken to avoid an accident. That's why you need to have a driver behind the vehicle at all times and not be relying on a robot to control and manipulate the vehicles. But I just thought that was funny.
Well, it is, because I've had to swerve over a white line or whatever into a line median
exactly.
To avoid hitting somebody. And if it can't do that, it would just get into an accident. So
this is
what they're doing to Venezuela. Remember when Chavez asked for his gold back and they went ahead and gave him that fast-acting cancer, which I believe what happened to him, and they killed him because he insisted on getting the gold shipped back over there from the Bank of England. This is what Mark Salvo wrote about. He goes, this is how government dealt with dissent, revolt, and collapsing Venezuela. I believe they're continued to be punished by the Rothschild New World Order banking cartels for this. The soldiers are now shooting civilians in the streets, and paramilitaries are roaming neighborhoods. Venezuela is in complete chaos as a result of their economic collapse. As a result, state-rationed food and groceries have run out. Prices are hyperinflated, and millions of people are waiting in huge lines for any goods or any food that's available. Black markets have gone boom. This is what happened in Germany with the Weimar Republic. My mom, she used to tell me about this, but they weren't killing each other over there. They had the black markets, with neighbors making necessities available to other neighbors, but they must now avoid crackdown from a jealous state that is desperate to hang on to power. The Caracas Chronicle is one of the rare sources to report what is really happening, said, what we saw were not street clashes. What we saw is a state-hatched offensive to suppress and terrorize its citizens. Throughout the night, panicked people told their stories of state-sponsored paramilitaries on motorcycles roaming middle-class neighborhoods, shooting at people and storming into apartment buildings, shooting at anyone who seemed like they might be protesting. People continue to be arrested merely for protesting, and a long-established local human rights corporation company says makes an urgent plea for an investigation into the widespread reports of torture of detainees. There are now dozens of serious human rights abuses. National Guardsmen shooting tear gas canisters directly into residential buildings. Guys, here's the thing. I want to say this again. This is why our Second Amendment is so important in the United States. Let's say that China or a group of nations come after the United States and they decide they're going to invade us. I'm not going to say this is our own military doing this or our own people, because I don't believe they'll do that. I don't believe that our own military will turn against us. I don't believe that. I really don't, because I know too many military guys. You know, there may be a few of them that might, but the majority of them will say no. Now, here's the thing. So if we get invaded by another country, let's say that China comes in, decides they're going to try to get the rest of the trillions of dollars they're owed by us. and they decided to invade us, start doing dropping paratroopers in and hitting the shores, naval breaches, all of it. And they start running door to door. In the United States, they're going to have a miserable time doing that, okay? They really are, because they're going to get shot everywhere they go. They'll probably invade New York and Boston and Connecticut first, where they don't have that almost gut the balls, Austin. You know,
L.A.
L.A. and Los Angeles and Chicago. That's probably where they'll go in first, and they'll start taking over. They come down here to the South. They try to do this stuff to us here in the South with all of us Southern boys running around. They're going to have a miserable experience trying to invade our country. And see, that's what the fathers of the country knew. They knew that we had to maintain our rights to defend the country and defend the Constitution. And see, that's why we have to maintain second. Look at all these people in Venezuela. They have roving patrols running around just shooting people. Are you kidding me? If they try that here in the South, they're going to get shot right off the back of those motorcycles. That is ridiculous. And this is actually going on in Venezuela. And again, that country is being punished for what they did as far as demanding their gold back because of what Chavez did. They're an oil-rich nation. There's absolutely no reason. They're going to destroy that country, destroy it all. They're going to come back in, put in another tyrant, another despot to come in and run it. It's going to be appointed through the New World Order, exactly what they've done in Greece, exactly what they've done in Turkey. And they're going to go ahead and put their henchmen in from Goldman Sachs to come in, and they'll put the military in. And then the United States or some other country or a NATO force will go in, the United Nations, and they'll say, we're going to have to restore order in the country. And again, it'll go right back to the same mess again all over the New World Order. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Again, that's why it's so important for us to maintain and hold on to our Second Amendment rights so stuff like this doesn't happen. I mean, you think we have a mildly bad police state now here in the United States? You think you've seen some things around here? You have seen nothing until you go to some of those third world countries like that. They're completely and totally disarmed. You're at the whim of whatever the government wants to do or what any invading army wants to do. You're absolutely right. This is a new health article I wanted to bring about. Let everybody know, a new drug for treating type 2 diabetes is actually making the condition worse, researchers have discovered. An injectable drug known as liraglutide is a blood sugar suppressing GLP-1 analog. It is produced by Novo Nordisk. It comes in like a little pen, like an insulin pen. And you control how much you inject, but it's not insulin. It was approved about 6 years ago because it successfully lowered blood sugar levels almost immediately, much better than even insulin did. But it came with serious risk. The U.S. drug FDA warned that the drug increased the risk of thyroid cancer. Common side effects are nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and have also made the drug difficult to take. Now, researchers from Karolinska Institute in Sweden have also discovered that any benefits are short-lived after 250 days of using this product, or 35 weeks. The drug completely impairs the body's already compromised ability to produce insulin, almost completely shutting down the pancreas permanently.
Unbelievable.
So, you're already in a state where you're trying to maintain healthy blood sugar. You're on a medication now. You don't want to go on full-blown insulin. Now, after 35 weeks of this product, you're pretty much completely done. You're going to be on insulin if you don't get thyroid cancer first.
Well, so, look at metformin. Look at the disaster.
Yeah.
Look at the pancreatic. Metformin causes pancreatic cancer, plus a bunch of other cancers, okay? Metformin is one of the worst drugs you could possibly take. When you have adult onset diabetes, you're primarily, it's basically called Syndrome X. Let me tell you how to do this, okay, what happens to the body. Your body's producing plenty of insulin in most cases. It's called Syndrome X, but the body can't utilize the insulin. It can't be brought, it's not allowing the insulin to be used to bring sugar into the cells, so you're staying hungry all the time and your blood sugar elevates, but you got tons of insulin in your body, but the insulin's not being utilized. That's type 2 diabetes in most cases, or Syndrome X. They all tie together. If you change your diet and you get off all of the junk food and all of the sugar, and you start taking, if you start taking turmeric every single day, if you start taking our cinnamon product every single day, if you get off the high glycemic foods, you start drinking more distilled water, you get on cod liver oil every day. We have an entire Hagman blood sugar protocol for healthy blood sugar right on the front of the website. It's amazing what happens with your blood sugar. Invariably, you know, almost every single type 2 diabetic that I know of, and I'm not making any claims here, I'm just telling you what happens when they change their diet and they start trying to monitor it properly and they get their insulin to start working again. It goes away. That blood sugar just goes back to normal without metformin, without drugs, without insulin, without anything. Now, adult, the juvenile diabetes, that's a whole different can of worms. When you become diabetic when you're 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, that's a very difficult one. That's going to require, at this point, unless the stem cell research continues on it, it's going to require insulin the rest of your life. But our website is healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. You can call us at 1-800-726-1834. Healthmasters.com. We also have a free newsletter. We discuss all of these topics. We go into more detail with you on the newsletters. And you can go sign up for that at healthmasters.com. You can also like us on Facebook. And we appreciate you liking us on Facebook because we don't really push that. And we appreciate you guys. And again, it's healthmasters.com. Anything you want to add to that, Oz?
No, it is. We've had really good results with that blood sugar protocol. And I sell it all the time online. And not because I'm trying to sell you something, because I know that it works and I've seen tremendous results with it, especially when you combine it with a healthy diet. And that's one of the key aspects that I always remind people when they get that product, is it's not, you know, a fix-all kit where you can just take the kit and the supplements and go eat, you know, Wendy's, Frosties, Gatorade, and soda all day and expect to have your blood sugar under control. It's a systematic process of changing your diet, changing your lifestyle, implementing these supplements, adding in some mild exercise, making sure you have proper, you know, distilled water or purified water intake, and going from there. And the results I've seen with it are usually nothing less than dramatic, but it has to be an overall change in your lifestyle and habit. You can't continue to do the same things that have made you diabetic for the last 10, 15, 20 years and expect to keep doing those and have it all of a sudden change because you're taking a couple vitamins. It's a full change, but when you do it correctly, I've seen great results with it.
And you know, the same thing with the water. See, when you have fluorine or chlorine in your water supply or glyphosate contamination in your water supply and you're drinking that type of water, you're poisoning your body. You just are, because what happens is the thyroid thinks that the fluorine or the chlorine or the bromine, it thinks that all of this stuff is iodine. And when you don't have sufficient quantities of iodine in your diet, the body absorbs these things into your thyroid gland, causing hypothyroidism, hyperthyroidism, causes all kinds of different types of conditions, which also affect blood sugar regulation. That's why this is a total lifestyle-changing program. If you want to get off the metformin, if you want to get off these drugs, you need to, first of all, check with your physician, have him help you with doing all of this, start on our protocol, start on the diet, and work with your physician in coming off these drugs. I'm not telling you not to take the drugs at all. You can't do that, because you could be going to a diabetic shock, diabetic coma. But if you want to change your lifestyle and change your life, talk to your doctor. Tell me you want to try the protocol that we have. You want to work with him and help him to titrate down the dosing or whatever he wants to do with you to get off the metformin or these other types of drugs. And think about what you're doing. Get a glucometer and work with your local doctor all over the country, all over the world to make this thing happen. We're here to help support you, but we're not telling you not to take those prescription drugs, because if you're on them, you better stay on them, because if you're not going to do a lot of lifestyle changes, you get in the hospital really, really fast with that. Next story. Arizona House passes bill to take on any new federal gun control. 10th Amendment Center. Today, the Arizona House passed a bill to prohibit the state from using personnel or resources to enforce any new federal gun control measures, setting the foundation to nullify them in practice within the state. The vote was 35-24. The legislation would prohibit any state or local agency and their employees from knowingly and willingly participating in any way with the enforcement of any future federal act, law, order, rule or regulation issued regarding a personal firearm, a firearm accessory or ammunition that infringes on the right to keep and bear arms guaranteed by the Second Amendment. Wow. Way to go, Arizona. What do you think, Oz?
That's serious. That's a huge step right there. I wish more states would start doing that and see what everybody has to understand. And we have to get back to our roots of the Constitution, how this was founded. The state's rights were always supposed to supersede federal rights. People get in arguments with me that all the time. They'll say, well, the federal right trumps state rights. They do now, because if the state doesn't listen to them, well, then the federal government, they want to, they'll just send federal agents in there that override everybody and take stuff over. You see them doing that in multiple states now, in Colorado and California, where the state has legalized pot, which I don't have an issue with them doing that if they want to do that as a state. But then the federal government comes in there and says, well, we're going to send federal DEA agents in there and raid your pot farms that are legal with your state, that are paying taxes in your state, that are regulated in your state. We're going to raid them still because we say it's against federal law. That is completely and 100% against the Constitution of the United States. The state's laws always supersede federal law. That's how they were supposed to be. That's how they were written. That's how they were supposed to stay. There's no reason for the federal to have this type of reaching arm over us. And so for Arizona to try and pass a bill like this and actually have it go through is amazing to me. I really hope a lot of the more conservative states like Texas, Florida, I think Montana may have already done this too. I know they did this with ATF. You can make, you know, suppressors, anything, class 3 weapons you want, pretty much in the state of Montana, and all you have to do is basically have engraved on it, on the suppressor, anything like that, made in Montana, and it can't leave the state of Montana, but you don't have to pay a tax stamp, you don't have to register it with ATF, and there's nothing that they have really been able to say about it. ATF's fought it for a while, but, I mean, what are they really going to do? They don't even know if anybody's made any because they're all unregulated in the state like they should be.
Well, Montana's only got 600,000 people. It's a very small state. And the crazy thing about the whole thing with Montana is like a bunch of cowboys up there that never decided to comply with federal regulation. People always want to argue with me about this too, Austin. I always ask them, was Abraham Lincoln a tyrant or was he a hero? And my response is always the same. If you lived in the South, he was a tyrant. If you lived in the North and you didn't know any better, he was a hero. But the truth of the matter is he was a tyrant. Abraham Lincoln fought the Civil War over states' rights. It had nothing to do with slavery. That was nothing. The Emancipation Proclamation only freed the slaves in the South, not the slaves in the North. People don't get that. People are always saying, well, he freed the slaves. No, he didn't. He freed them in the South because he was trying to disrupt the South by doing that. And he didn't have authority to free them in the South when he freed them in the South because the South had succeeded. They succeeded because that was where all the money was coming in. It was all the trading that was being done with England, and the colonies was all coming through the South with all of the cotton that they were producing. It was all going back over to England. They were making a fortune. The landowners were just super, super wealthy. And what was interesting is Eli Whitney had developed a cotton gin, and so the use of slavery to pick cotton, it was already phasing out. And a lot of the guys were getting rid of their slaves because they were too expensive to feed and to maintain and take care of because the cotton gin had basically made them obsolete. See, this is what nobody wants to talk about in the South. It was a state's rights issue. Lincoln was a socialist. He was a communist. He was friends with Karl Marx. There's a good book you can read. It was called The South is Right. And I'm not saying that, you know, the South is right about everything, because certainly they were not. But I tell you what, on these issues, they were. And what they should have really, now the slavery would have gone away by itself anyhow from a financial standpoint. And it was wrong. I agree with that 100%. But that's not why the Civil War was fought. The Civil War was fought over tariffs and over taxation and over the federal government wanting to come in and take the stuff from the southern states. And by the way, if the northern states had not brought all of those mercenary soldiers in and all those Hessians in, the northern states would have lost that war. The only reason that the southern states lost that war is they lost almost their entire male population fighting that war, and the northern states were continuing to bring in these German mercenaries, what they were. They were the Hessians. And a lot of times these southern states would come in, and they would have a battle, and they would capture the northern states. They couldn't even talk to them because all they spoke was German. And see, that's the craziest thing about all of this stuff, guys. And remember, the Rothschild banking cartel financed both the North and the South. They were doing everything they could to destroy the United States and to bring in the bank that Andrew Jackson had taken out. It all goes back to the bankers, because Andrew Jackson was a phenomenal president, and he got rid of the central bank, got rid of the Rothschild cartel, and started printing debt-free currency. And it was the last time the United States, Austin, was ever out of debt, was under Andrew Jackson. What's your next story?
Yeah, you're right. Most people don't even understand that history on it. What's happened now in Minnesota, this has been going on since the 90s, but anytime anybody gets like a DUI or anything like that within 10 years of a conviction, they have to have what's called a W on their special license plate. They have to pay an extra $50 on their vehicles. A lot of states now are trying to adopt this, including 21 other states now have introduced legislation to require special license plates for bad drivers. Washington has been trying to force drivers to put special license plates on their vehicles as well. They stated that offenders in Washington will be required to display the special plates for 3 years after driving privileges are restored. And what's interesting about this is just the epitome of the police state, because they even talked about in one here, one of the articles in Minnesota, is that it didn't do anything to help out with preventing DUIs at all. All it did was put a giant target for officers to pull people over and harass them, because essentially you're walking around with a big star on your tag saying, hey, I've gotten busted for something once before, and now you guys need to pull me over. So if you guys ever have any of these bills come in here, they call it a whiskey plate. WK is what goes in front of Minnesota. Like I said, a lot of states are trying to push this now. If you hear about it, make sure you do everything you can with your legislators to try and fight this, because, again, we've discussed before, I don't support drinking and driving at all. But trying to force people years and years and years after they've had a DUI to run around with a special license plate they have to pay for that basically brands them by the police is somebody that's going to be an issue, all it does is create more problems than it does good, and it taxes you even further on top of everything else. You got to pay even more money for the tag and registration. So please, make sure you guys don't drink and drive, first off, and secondly, if you see these things like happen in Minnesota and stuff, do your best with your legislation to prevent them from being enacted with the DMV.
Well, also, if you've got a chance, if you're up there and they're doing that to you, if you have a car that you own free and clear, you can always have it put in your wife's name and get the tag issued under her name. I mean, I don't see how they could possibly bypass that unless they're requiring you to put a tag under your name if you have a license.
Well, yeah, they're doing that with all of them. So if you get caught driving a vehicle that's even, if you're driving it and it still doesn't have one of the tags on it, they still arrest you again for it.
Oh, it's so you're crazy. You're required to have that tag if you're driving any vehicle.
Yep, if a driver owns or co-owns multiple vehicles at all, he must obtain the plate, and if he's using any type of vehicle for transportation, he's supposed to have one of those plates. So even if somebody lets you borrow their car, you're technically supposed to get one of those plates put on just because you're behind the wheel of it. It's completely, totally crazy. I didn't realize it until I was reading about it last week.
You know what's crazy about that, Austin? It's like Nazi Germany. Papers, please.
Yep.
Papers, please. Papers, please. And when they, and Goering and the boys got berserkoid, they started making all the Jews wear the Star of David on themselves,
yep,
showing that they were Jews. And, you know, and of course, you go back to the Scarlet Letter, the book that was written, you know, long, long time ago about how they branded the lady with adultery by putting an A on her. It's the same thing. Then everybody can say, "Ah, oh, you're a WK plate, you scum, get off the road. Are you kidding
yep.
me?" You know, it's unbelievable. I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't drink and drive and don't get yourself in the situation to start with. But gosh, man, the state, man, you got to remind me not to want to live in that state. We're running out of time. Let me give you another story. Trump's lead exploding ahead of Super Tuesday. Kip Daniels. Donald Trump gained even more in the polls in the days leading up to Super Tuesday, while Marco Rubio's support is collapsing, probably because they know he's bubble boy. Trump exploded, expanded his lead to 44%, where Rubio dropped 5 points to 14%, while Cruz now holds second place at 15%. According to a Morning Consult national survey of over 2,000 registered voters, if Rubio hoped that going negative on Trump in the most recent GOP debate and on the campaign stump would reap benefits of the voters, it hasn't resonated with any national respondents. The poll service concluded, in other words, every time Rubio attacks Trump, Trump's lead goes up, Rubio's goes down. And similarly, Fox News, listen to this, Austin, Fox News has lost 50% of its support from Republicans by attacking Trump. I'm going to repeat that. Fox News has lost 50% of its support from the Republicans by attacking Trump. When they allowed that bimbo, Megyn Kelly, who liked to talk about her husband's private parts and the size of her breasts on Howard Stern's on a live interview with you with Howard, you guys can watch it online, when they allowed her to go in there and slam him on that very first question of that first debate last year and then treat him like that, and then Trump says, "I don't want to deal with her anymore, we're not going to do this," because he's trying to be a gentleman. See, he knows where his limits are, and he doesn't want to start insulting her. He doesn't want to do all that, so he chooses not to be involved with her. I don't blame him one bit. Well, now everybody's seeing through Trump News and to Fox News, and they realize how corrupt Fox News has become, Austin.
Yes, that's exactly right. And people are tired of it. I knew so many people that were like, that was completely out of line with that entire interview, the way it started off.
Yeah, it was. It was totally out of line. We love you guys. We appreciate you. My voice is a little bit messed up. We cleaned a shower the other day using some bleach, and I got in some chlorine, inhaled some chlorine, I guess, so my nasal passages are a little messed up, but I still feel great. So I appreciate you guys. We love you guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yes, thank you guys for everything. If you need anything, give us a call. Go on our website, email us at healthmasters.com. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow, and you have a blessed night.
God bless.